Looks like economists will be running Italy and Greece for now. Will that do the trick?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, a conversation with the financial industry's top cop. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up at the open this morning. The Dow up 128 points, a little more than 1% at 11,909. NASDAQ up 0.6%. S&P 500 up 0.9%. After we got some good news on the job front this morning, the number of people filing first-time unemployment claims dropped last week to the lowest level since April. Now to Europe. There is a new prime minister in Greece this morning, Lucas Papademos. He is a former European Central Bank official. And in Italy, an economist named Mario Monti looks likely to head the next government there. For more, let's bring in Adolfo Laurenti, deputy chief economist with Mesirow Financial. He is with us live from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Adolfo, looks like economists are going to be running the show. Is this the answer to Europe's problems?
Well, this really underscores that Europe is facing political challenges, even more than economic challenges. Mm. They clearly needed to improve their fiscal situation, but they also need to do structural reforms to their economies and labor markets, and that's where politicians as crucially fails. It's important to stop kicking the can down the road at this point, because the longer they wait, the worse the situation will get.
Well, you're in Washington. We're facing this deadline for the Congressional Supercommittee to make cuts. A lot of people say we should kick the can down the road, not make the cuts right now. What do you make of that?
I think that would be really appropriate. We have a real advantage compared with Europe. We are not in a sovereign debt crisis yet, but that's the trajectory we are following. So I would recommend for the committee to find an agreement and really move before the pain will be too much to bear. We have already enough pain in this economy at this time.
Adolfo Laurenti with Mesirow Financial, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, now to the Supreme Court, which could take its first step today toward deciding whether President Obama's health care overhaul is legal. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The justices won't be sitting at the bench, no black robes. Instead, they'll gather around a conference table to pick which case or cases they'll hear. All of them involve what's known as the individual mandate. Timothy Jost teaches health law at Washington and Lee University.
I think at this point, everybody, including the challengers to the law and the Obama administration defending the law, believes that we really need to settle this question once and for all.
No one is shying away from this fight, even the White House. The administration asked the Supreme Court to deal with this issue sooner rather than later. That's because states are required to implement parts of the law within the next 3 years. But Joe says there's no guarantee the justices will do anything now.
One possible result here is that the Supreme Court would simply say it's too early, come back in a couple of years and ask us again.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. By Mass Mutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances. November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com.
Realty Track said this morning more homes went into foreclosure last month, meaning the mortgage mess is getting worse. As for what's being done about it, all 50 states have been looking into whether the big banks acted improperly in handling mortgages. But two state attorneys general recently decided to launch a separate investigation. That would be Delaware's Beau Biden and New York's Eric Schneiderman. I stopped by Schneiderman's office in Lower Manhattan yesterday and started our interview by asking him why he and Biden left the group.
The multi-state negotiations that had been going on when I took office relate solely to the conduct after the market melted down, to abuses in foreclosure practices, robo-signing, things like that. The banks have been demanding releases for other conduct, for things that haven't been investigated. And Bo and I and some other AGs have said we're not given releases for things that haven't been fully investigated. We're not given releases for things that really aren't the subject of the discussions underway.
Now, you are an elected state official, but people call you the sheriff of Wall Street, just as they've called your predecessors in this position. Why is that not a federal position?
I think that the term really became popular back when Elliot Spitzer was the AG, and we're in an era where, during the Bush administration, a lot of the federal agencies were slow to police Wall Street. Mm. And I think that he sort of filled that gap, and that's where the reputation and the nickname came out. And our goal is to make sure that people have confidence that the markets are legitimate and that there's one set of rules for everyone, and that if something's rated AAA, that means something.
Well, if you're the sheriff of Wall Street, have the people that you police cleaned up their act since a few years ago?
Well, there have been some changes. I think that there have been difficulties in implementing the new laws that have been passed by Congress. But there's a lot of progress that's been made, but we view our investigation as a part of an overall effort to restore the public confidence that is so critical to the functioning of the markets, and frankly, that's so critical to the functioning of our democracy.
Well, your office looks out over Zuccotti Park and the Occupy Wall Street protesters. What do you make of that movement?
I think that when you cut through a lot of the more flamboyant stuff that gets media attention, what I hear from Occupy Wall Street and the other Occupy movements is really the same thing I hear from most Americans. At the bottom, it's the idea that they're demanding accountability. They have a sense that the banks got bailed out, were holding the bill, and no one was held accountable. And they really want to restore the sense that there's one set of rules for everybody. This is a big part of restoring confidence in America, and I see the Occupy movement as just the more visible tip of a big iceberg.
Eric Schneiderman, Attorney General of the State of New York, thanks so much for talking with us.
All right, thank you.
And finally, to the Occupy protest in Denver, the city's mayor asked the demonstrators to elect a leader who could be a contact for police. And the Denver protesters obliged by nominating a 3-year-old border collie named Shelby. One supporter explained, "Shelby is more of a person than a corporation is and less corrupt than most people. She is the youngest, first, and only dog leader of this revolution." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
All right, pardon the dated reference, but over in China, it's all about the Benjamins when it comes to getting a good education.
You just give them the list of schools you're interested in, and they will do it for you. They are not ashamed of doing this. You pay them, and they get it out for you.
I'm Kai Rizdal, wanted Chinese students for universities here in the States. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.